Better person, both of us combined. This is a podcast about things. Allison brings a topic, we discuss, and your market set. Oh, you can find us on the internet, binaryjazz.us. And your market set, go.
Whew, the race is on. I had no idea.
I didn't realize it was a competition.
I like to keep in your toes.
Yeah, well, you did a really good job. I think I just tripped on a shoelace and fell on my face.
Apologies.
Well, I think the topic this week, I think, is really important because I think it's what really brought you two together to begin with.
And I feel explosions like, in the sky?
Yeah, no. I feel like you just never get to discuss it, you know? And like, You don't really have a forum to discuss your shared love of psychedelic music albums by Russian artists. I just feel like
that would be accurate. I don't have a forum to discuss that.
It's the genre that, like, I just feel like you two don't get enough of an opportunity to discuss, you know?
So to be clear, like, you're just pushing John Renata right now. This isn't actually the topic, right?
basically, yeah.
Oh, that's a relief.
No, there are definitely Russian psychedelic.
Oh my God, this is a topic. Now I'm panicking.
now you're panicking? But I mean, it's your favorite genre. So like, you should be able to just, I mean, like, of all the albums that you listen to, like, what's your go-to, you know? Like, is it because of the album art?
Go to
Russian
psychedelic.
Everyone forgets their foray into Russian psychedelic, but they did it. It's a very small leap from drop D tuning to Russian psychedelic, obviously. From guitar to balalaikas, but I mean, otherwise, it's the same exact thing.
The same exact
visual.
Like, there is a
the eye roll.
No, it wasn't eye roll. It's my thinking pose. There is a record that I bought at the Salvation Army once, and literally purchased this record for the cover. Knew nothing about the band,
yeah.
But it looked like probably. Maybe it was like some sort of electro-industrial type thing, but I had no idea. And the artist was Cat Rapes Dog, and the album was God, Guns, and Gasoline.
I'm sorry, and this was in a thrift store in Utah?
No, this was in California. This would never be found in Utah. In fact, it probably is banned at the border. And it turned out that Cat Rapes Dog was a Russian pseudo-electro-industrial band. Singing in English, of course, but with really heavy accents.
I was thinking you were going to say it was like basically classical music.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Soothing lullabies.
So yeah, no, I definitely got rid of that. it did make a couple plays at some point. It was not very good for probably a fairly obvious reasons. But yeah.
No, clarify.
We don't need to analyze the artist's name, I don't think. It was really weird, though. It was really weird. And now I'm thinking about that record again, which I haven't thought
about. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck.
I have very My knowledge of Russian artists in general is fairly narrow. Currently, it begins and ends at Pussy Riot.
That makes sense.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is obviously the artist that whose members were imprisoned by the Russian authorities for basically walking while feminist recording.
It's Russian feminist. Punk band,
yeah,
but in like the tradition of punk.
Yes, and what was interesting was when I first learned about Pussy Riot, and it was through these charges and through them getting thrown in prison. And it was Russian punk band Pussy Riot, blah blah blah. And I listened to them, and I'm like, that's punk, because their sound is actually very kind of like poppy and electronic.
Yeah.
But yeah, very much more in the spirit as opposed to in the style. Yeah.
Also, is Walking While Feminist not a band name yet? Because it's
not.
What genre would that be?
Obviously, Riot Girl.
Let's check.
It would have to be Riot Girl. It's a mandatory.
It would be.
Are you doing slash genre nader?
Of course I am. It would be EDM with hints of harpsichord. It feels a bit constrained.
Yeah. A little dab here and there.
Well, the harpsichord really, really took a thrashing when the piano came out, huh?
Well, that's the quote of the episode right there. A thrashing is such a like very just deliberate verb for that. It's very harsh. Just a thrashing. People just would not let up on that harpsichord.
But isn't it like when automobiles replace like horse-drawn carriages?
How old do you think
under
I am?
Under a decade.
Yes, Gary, it's exactly like that.
Well, if memory serves, it is exactly like that. I'm giving
There is a compelling point here to be made, and that is that the harpsichord lacked the ability to handle like the great dynamics that a piano has. You know, I mean, harpsichord, that twang happens and that's it. You don't have a ton of dynamic control. So, I mean, piano like brought like a new dynamic to music.
Yes, in my long conversations with Mozart, he often spoke of the dynamic that the piano brought to music and composing and music composition.
Do you not think about the progression of instruments?
Like not as much as you do.
I guess not. I was just thinking about
not
mandolins not too long ago. And sort of doing a bit of research on the mandolin and how it ended up as we know it today as a bluegrass instrument. But I mean, it's not, you know, mandolin is not a bluegrass instrument.
Do people think of it as bluegrassy? I don't. I guess.
Really?
No, well, I mean, like it can be, but it mostly is just because of, what's his name?
Oh yeah. Oh, what's his name? Very influential in the mandolin. Very influential mandolin player.
Yeah. That guy.
Mandolinist, you know. As it were.
Yeah, you know, what's his name? His first name is Chris. His last name begins with a T, and that's all I've got right now, but I'll get back to you on that. Chris.
Turner?
No.
Tucker? Thompson? Thomas?
There's a long list of names we got going down.
Ruby Rod! It's not Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
But banjo, the same thing, right? Like, I'll slap some strings on a drum. What?
Cop in my man.
The banjo is definitely.
Sorry, I got stuck at Chris Tucker. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm right.
Okay, that's fine.
You're all over here.
We'll catch up. Go for it. We'll catch up.
We're talking instruments and there's like weird impressions happening over in the corner that we're just like not even acknowledging. I think that's the hilarious.
And you know, like the old like paintings you have of instruments where like the neck turns and the tuning pegs were like at 90 degrees to the I don't know, is that that's the nut at one end and the bridges at the other, right? Yeah. So like
on
at 90
banjo? Sorry.
Well, okay. No, on any string instrument. Oh, like a gourd with strings on it and a hole in it. Like, I mean, literally, like, and it has the bridge, and then at the end, like, the wood turns 90 degrees, and the tuning pegs are these weird thing. I mean, how did anybody come up with the idea of plucking strings? No one had rubber bands back then, you know?
That's true. I mean,
like, what did they tighten up, and they're like, oh, neat, I can make different sounds with this. It's just fascinating.
Anything?
Like weird muscle sinew and gross things?
As a result of all this, how did guitar settle in as like the de facto like string instrument? It's problematic for me because it's not the tuning isn't intuitive. Like if you grab like a mandolin, right? Is it fourths? I'm pretty sure it's fourths all the way up the neck. You know, the guitar is not intuitive. There's that weird jump in the middle where it's a third and then back to fourth or whatever it is. I don't know. Someone musically can chime in here, but. It just doesn't make sense to me. How do we settle on that tuning as being the right way to tune an instrument that's easy to learn to play, right? A string instrument.
But like, how did we decide that that's the right way, or how did we get to that tuning? Because we're like, that's aesthetically pleasing. It sounds like it's right.
Yeah,
but it's not. If you play it completely open, it's not. Like it's not.
It's maybe like a weird guitar gatekeeping where it's like then only the people who really know.
Obviously that's what I'm suggesting. It's like the shadow government, right? It's the shadow musicians that have determined how guitar is off.
The Illuminati determined the tuning, the common tuning for the guitar. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not suggesting it. I know it to be true.
Okay.
And once Gary exposed that secret, he was never seen again.
See that like security light behind you start flashing and then some
hoods helicopter lands in the background.
Yeah. Like that was an exciting episode. Back for Tuesday's recording?
They're just a duo now. It's kind of lackluster, but
well they got rid of the guy that wasn't as good as the other two, so it's established during introductions in this episode.
No, we'll have you. We'll have your feed in, and we'll have to introduce you as your witness protection name, and like completely obscured in the dark. You can't share your face.
Monty Saratoga.
Your voice is through a voice masking device.
That's true.
Which,
but we can't afford.
Show the voice masking device was my hand.
And yeah, we can't afford an actual device, so you're going to have to just screw yourself.
And on occasion, like, I'll adjust in my seat and accidentally, like, shift into the light so you can see my
face. We all know. We're like, whoop.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Everybody blink right now. Okay. So it's getting a bit chilly down here.
Yeah, Gary is bundled up with about 15 coats and earmuffs, which is...
I have a jacket on. I put on my moccasins to walk out of the back porch. It's about 54 and a half degrees.
Wow. That's awfully cold.
I know. Yesterday when I came out here, I mean, I always work on the back porch barefoot, obviously. And I walked out here. It is a little chilly to not have anything on my feet. So I had to go dig out my moccasins that I wear when it's like between this and 60. But I'm pretty close to my lower limit
right now. I
think
I walked out of the house for a minute yesterday or the day before. I don't usually walk out of the house in general, so this was the thing. And,
congrats.
Yeah. And I went outside, and I was like, wow, it's actually kind of nice out here. I could almost work out here. And probably it was about 54.
But was it sunny?
Yes.
That makes a huge difference.
It does.
54 and sunny versus 54 and overcast.
Also... 54 if you live in Utah, and 54 if you live in Florida. It's a different thing, too.
We're expecting to be down in the 30s and 40s the next couple nights. Winter has arrived. That's the way it works here. We'll be in the 30s and 40s for a couple nights, and then it's going to be back up in like the 60s for a week, and then drift chilly again, and then back to the 60s for a while.
So, Gary, I hear the midterms are the gift that keep giving. And you're
did we not talk about this last week? I think we did, didn't we?
Well, I think we did, except that it's not over yet.
It's Florida's still counting.
Yeah.
And I answered the question then, why does Florida have such a hard time counting? I don't know. It's pretty disappointing.
It's hard being Florida.
If we're being fair, we've still got an election that's being counted here. That's two of them, in fact, that are razor thin. One of them, which is a proposition on gerrymandering, and one of which is the incumbent Republican Senator Mia Love and Democrat Mayor, who is slimly in the lead, who has been in the lead since Election Day, Ben McAdams, which would be our first blue. Not senator, House representative, but I mean, it'd be the first patch of blue in who God knows how long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely haven't figured out governor or senator.
I mean, governor wasn't a question. And senator wasn't a question. Mitt won by like, I don't know. He had 70% or something.
What is Mitt short for? Mittens?
Feels like something I should know.
Good old Mittens Romney. I don't know. Maybe Mitchell, but family name, sound right. Right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. It's Mitt. That's
Mittens.
Mittens. Good old Mittens Romney.
They named him after the family cat.
Yeah.
Or dog. I guess it could have been a dog. It's not as cool as Indiana Jones, but... They're going in that vein.
So Russian psychedelic music peaked around 1968.
That early? No.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. It's a very vintage genre, I think, to like latch onto, right?
And Andy Warhol notably said about Russian psychedelic, this is music.
I could have said damn near anything. Someone would point to it and say, he's right, you know.
That's an excellent point.
I think, I don't know if it's true or not, at some point I had a picture of me standing in front of a bunch of Warhol works at our local art museum as my header in my Twitter thing. I don't know what it is now. It might still be that.
You can find out right now at twitter.com/binarygary. Tell Gary what his header photo is.
You need to be more conscious of your social media situation.
Oh, man. I'm barely conscious of my social media situation. Less and less. I sort of had to use it a bit this weekend, but I just don't.
Sort of had to.
I sort of had to, yeah. I mean, I was speaking at a word camp, so I feel like I had to engage with it.
Okay.
But I don't. I read it every few days. I don't know. This may be the time when I delete Twitter from my phone and just stop tweeting.
I have nothing to... I mean, it's a personal decision, and I encourage you to make the right decision for you.
I left Facebook a while ago. I haven't left Twitter. I still look at it occasionally, but I find... I used to go to Twitter for, like, news-type stuff. But then you get the echo chamber, where all the news that you're getting is all just people that, and that's not, so it's not great for that either. And I've tried to like diversify the people that I follow. But it's a fire hose of crap. And so I'm not going to watch the fire hose. So I take occasional glimpses and sometimes those glimpses are, you know, enlightening, and sometimes I get something out of it, but most of the time it's just noise, and I don't, yeah. And I find that I less and less I use it for News.
Oh, yeah.
I've been actually using the Apple News app.
Oh.
Nice.
No, I don't use Twitter for news. I mean, it filters in there occasionally, little tidbits, but most of the time, I don't know. I have like lists and cultivated and things are muted, and it's a very like constructed situation.
There are some great people on Twitter that make some great points that I wouldn't run into if they opted to take it to like a platform like, you know, WordPress or something where I have to like follow an RSS feed. Man, to hell with that. So that there's value in that. Especially when like PHP World is going on right now. So there's some interesting things rolling out of that for people that I follow.
Man, when did RSS get a bad name?
What?
When did RSS get such a bad name?
When Google closed feed or whatever that thing was called.
It's like, yeah. I feel bad for RSS. I just like it. Really simple syndication.
XML. You know, were it JSON, it'd be okay. But then it would be RSS JS.
Really simple.
RSJ?
It would still be
SS, JS.
JSON simple syndication, JSS.
JSS.
Yeah, that's okay.
RJS, like really that. Really JSON syndication.
I don't know. I still have, I use Feedly or something for my RSS feed. It's only because like I don't want to have to stay, I want to stay up to date with certain things, but I don't want to have to like, oh, if I've missed their tweet about it, then it's gone in the wind and whatever. So then I'm just like, oh no, it'll pop up there. So I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've resigned myself a long time ago to letting the things that drift off in the wind to just
drift off,
be gone. If it doesn't percolate, it's fine.
Yeah.
But for I don't know, until I started using Apple News for actual news, and until we got a newspaper subscription to Salt Lake Tribune, literally my source for like world news was watching Seth Meyers on YouTube. Seth Meyers and Stephen Colbert were like YouTube videos and Weekend Update from Saturday Night Live. That was it for my world and outside of my bubble news. And I realized at some point that was a little bit maybe biased.
Maybe. But humorous. I don't know. Sometimes you need those. I don't know. Like maybe not solely that, but like.
Ugh. Oh, I still use them because it makes the things that make me want to cry kind of funny.
Different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the same way.
It reframes the horribleness that is every day. That was dark.
Binary Jazz, bring you that silver lining. 2018.
I'm going to go read some Arby's tweets.
Oh, Jesus.
just because I'm curious, how will this topic resolve? Because we generally know what the topic is. So at the end, we say...
Because you avoided talking about it quite a bit.
obviously, it resolves when the timer comes up and we have to answer questions.
And there's a new backlog because I submitted more Allison questions.
I wonder if Allison will hum a few bars of her favorite Russian psychedelic.
I like the one that goes, two.
That's the one with the theremin, right?
Yeah, and there's that, like, it's almost like the beat is about to drop about 20 seconds in, but then they make you wait about 12 more seconds, and I feel like that elevation really, really brings it to the forefront. I don't know.
Yes, by Russian psychedelic pioneers, Magnificent Elephant.
Yeah. It's a loose translation.
Yeah, right.
Have either of you built a theremin?
No.
No.
Sadly. I do. It's still on my list. I want to get a kit and build it, but I haven't. But yeah, it's actually, we're probably at the point where it's probably time now. I've been waiting until the kids are like old enough where it could actually sort of be like, let's learn electronics and build a theremin. Mm-hmm.
Do you do a lot of hardware hacking?
No, but okay. I did build an analog synthesizer once from a kit. I didn't have a good like case for it because it was like a rack mounted deal. So it was literally in this cardboard box. And then I moved, I moved here from California, and somehow along the trip, it didn't survive. it might've been the heat in the car or something, but the connections weren't good. I'm not good at soldering. So that could be too, part of it, but it did work for a while. I did get a couple recordings out of it, and it was pretty neat. It had a MIDI component, so you could connect it to a MIDI keyboard and.
Ooh, that's awesome!
Yeah.
There's like a MIDI controller chip, then I guess that would.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you couldn't feed
inputs from the analog synthesizer into something, but you could feed your synthesizer or your MIDI keyboard into the analog synthesizer. So if you create the sound and then you can play it on a synthesizer, which is pretty neat. And then you obviously output it to a amp or something.
Yeah. I've always wanted to build a prod. This is so dumb. I've wanted to build like a PHP log analyzer with MIDI output. So as you would stream the log file in, you would key different things and you could sort of get like a sound of what a normal log file was. And then run it through something that was abnormal. I don't know. I don't actually know if that's an idea or not.
I mean,
it's something.
At some point in time, because you know, experimental music is my jam. I found a random MIDI song generator or something, or maybe there is something that like Wolfram Alpha would output like a search in MIDI output or something. Like that was it. Cause I remember it was somehow tied to Wolfram Alpha. And so you could like translate something into MIDI output, and it was literally just random noise, and it was amazing.
I dabbled real lightly in a MIDI JS library, to hook my keyboard up to my computer screen. So I went to the kids' school, like, we could. Are you familiar with boom whackers? The colored. Have we talked about boom whackers before?
Probably. Oh, yeah. I think you've described them before.
So yeah. they're colored tubes, and they're different lengths, and each one is a different note. So I wrote a thing that when I played on the keyboard and the screen would change color, or would like it would light up the key that I was playing in the color of the boom whackers we played. So if I played a C, the C on the keyboard was red, and it would turn red, so the kids need to play their C. So. I think I had the note on the screen as well. But I mean, it was just like one of those things, like exposed like notes as well as, I don't know, the concept of music with the boom whackers. I don't know that it was really effective. I spent a lot more time dabbling with JS than I probably needed to. It's super fun. Super fun. And now that I've done that, I would like want MIDI output on a lot of things.
All of the things.
So, yeah.
I feel like for a PHP log, I would want a not great one to sound like a screeching fax machine.
I kind of suspect that it's all going to sound like static. But I'm not even sure like how I would, I'm not even really sure how I'd approach it.
Yeah.
Like, is velocity equivalent to the,
I once tried to translate text into notes. And basically or maybe numbers into notes, I don't know. If it was numbers, that would be easy because the numbers would be the distance between the notes. But I think it was text, and I think that like for all the letters that don't exist in the musical, hey, here's a gift. We've removed the 40-minute time limit on your first group meeting. But it's so we don't have a timer. That's going to be daunting.
Artificial. Well, I didn't block off enough time for this today.
Unlimited minutes. I don't know how to live my life.
Yeah, really.
what is going on?
What was I saying? Oh yeah, so I had to improvise when it came to like letters of the alphabet in whatever thing I was translating into music that weren't represented by the actual.
You didn't just like map like.
No.
What would it be? It would be no. About three octaves.
No. Yeah. I think it's just, I started at middle C, I think, or maybe I went a couple octaves lower so I could get the range. And yeah, I just was like, Chris, C, that one. H, R. And I think some of the things too would be beats in between notes. So like Ellison, boop, tar, boop.
That's just how I'm gonna introduce myself from now on. Really, really let it hang there too.
<It's> effective.
I wonder if more or less people will actually would remember my name if they're just like, it was a really weird introduction and that's why we remember. Boop.
Oh, so can you resolve this topic for us, please?
I don't know what kind of closure you need from me on this.
I just maybe your favorite Russian band?
Oh, I've got nothing.
I mean, I'm sure we could Google Russian psychedelic.
I mean, I have.
Like, Wiki will be like, famously, there was never a Russian psychedelic scene as a result of import restrictions.
I have two band names, if that would be helpful closure-wise for you.
That would do it for me. That would be sufficient.
Okay, there's one called Zvuky Moo, which is actually produced by Brian Eno. So throw that out there for you from the late 80s. I don't know if it's any good, but it involves some remixes and...
Brian Eno has a far lengthier career than just the late 80s.
Oh yeah, no, but this album in particular is from the late 80s, which I feel like is important to reference just because of the album cover alone.
Oh, good, yeah.
It's very, I don't know.
And you said there's two bands, so what's the other
one? Oh yeah, let's see what's the other one. 52. Shiz & Co? I don't know how you pronounce it. It's C-H-I-Z-H. Ooh, and they have a live album as well.
Ooh.
One song. 69 minutes.
It does include the song Hoochie Coochie Man.
Hoochie Coochie Man! Hoochie Coochie Man!
Could be a great hit. I don't know. There's two people in the band named Sergey, which seems like a high ratio.
I mean,
I wonder if their select team has the Aunt Sergeys.
Yeah, I hope so.
Get a hold of all of them at once.
50% of Russian men are named Sergey, so I don't know that that's really saying much.
Yeah, maybe my.
Is that right? Is that 50% named Dmitry?
Yes. No. Sure. The other 50%.
Every Russian you've met is named Dmitry. But they've all been spelled differently.
Oh.
So,
well, that's the differentiation then.
Yeah, maybe my ear is not.
Isn't different spellings of Dmitry or really any of those names or words just English bastardization of a language that doesn't translate into English very well?
Maybe.
Sure, why not?
Yes.
We're like, yes.
Excellent. All right.
I do have keycaps, key cover, like Russian keyboard covers for my keyboard if I were so inclined. Why?
Yeah, why?
Because my friend Dmitry gave them to me.
Okay.
Oh, but you don't use them. You have them.
Right. They would be useless to me.
Well, that was the why we sounded so astonished. So why do you have them?
He gave them to me, and I stuck them somewhere and never did anything else with them. I need to get rid of them. I don't need them. Maybe someone can benefit from them. If you're listening to the program and need Russian, they're stickers. I mean, they're not a keycap. Like, I don't pull and replace the keycaps. They go on top of the English keyboard or the whatever. What do we call this keyboard?
A keyboard. That's what I call it.
Anyway, if you need Russian stickers and I can find them, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to me.
Input device.
Yeah. I guess you could put it on top of your mouse if you wanted.
All 26 characters.
Yeah, it's there's a problem, I think, in one section that there's like a key that's split that is not split on my keyboard. So I'm not sure if I need to like chisel it in half or if I just put both stickers on. I mean, that wasn't the deal breaker ultimately.
The weird deal breaker is that you don't know Russian.
I mean, that was a minor.
Yeah, that's also a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not great at the Russian.
That'd be one way of getting better at it, though.
Having to stare at the... I don't know that it would, because it's not like there's a one-to-one translation between Russian characters and English letters, so I don't know that it would really help.
In the sink or swim, you'd sink.
Yeah. When I type it, you know? Maybe I could type it and then copy and paste it into Google Translate.
And we all know Google Translate is perfect.
I think it's gotten better. But that's...
Well, there is something.
That's really only judging by translating things to and from other languages.
So I used Google Translate. When I would go to China, my last trip over there, I had... data on my phone and would use Google Translate when I was trying to explain like a really specific concept that was not coming across. I would write it and then translate it to Mandarin. And most often they would look at it and understand. And in some cases, went the other direction. They would draw the character and translate to English. That didn't happen as frequently. And I mean, often the translations were just like a train of words. Mm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I was mostly talking about like taking a string of text or a sentence, translating it into some Eastern language, and then translating it back and seeing what comes, which I used to do fairly regularly for a while because you get some pretty wacky stuff back from Google Translate. Although it wasn't Google Translate at the time. It was like, must have been...
So like there, Babelfish or something?
Yeah, I was going to say, was there Babelfish? Yeah.
There was, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote a bot that did that, right? That they would use a Google Translate and send it to a language and back until like they got into a loop and settled on like what the definition was back and forth.
Well, if it hasn't happened, it should happen.
Oh, it totally did. I don't remember what the bot was. I'm certain it had to be on Twitter because where else would I have seen something like that?
See, Twitter is for some things.
Because wouldn't it be fun if you could like look at someone's tweet and say, yeah, your tweet when translated back and forth from English to Russian means this. Yeah. That sounds like a politically loaded bot.
So now's generally the time when we answer questions if we have listener questions, which we don't. So you, the listener, need to get on it. You can go to binaryjazz.us or contact us on Twitter, that thing that none of us actually use, which is Binary Jazz, by the way. we don't have questions. Excuse me, Gary, what was that?
I'm confused. We don't use Twitter. We don't use our account.
We don't use Twitter.
On Twitter.
None of us use Twitter.
Who monitors our account?
I do.
On Twitter.
I'm there. Very low activity.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.